We're in Philippians chapter 1. Again, if you weren't here last month, tonight what we're going to do is discuss and go over the first chapter of Philippians, and then you'll have study guides to take home for the next 3 weeks to do the next chapter. We're going to kind of outline tonight in three parts. We'll start with verse 3 through 10, which is going to be Paul's talk about how he loves the Philippians and his prayer for them. The next part is going to be Paul's personal experience with having joy in the midst of his circumstances. And the third part is going to be Paul promoting joy to them in the midst of their unknown circumstances. So those are kind of the three sections that we're going to look at this. And if you did the study guide and if you spent some time in the chapter, the Lord probably stirred up things in your heart. And so maybe as we read through and you recall some of those things, you know, make some little notes so that when you have discussion time in your group, then, you know, you can share maybe what the Lord would have you to share. So let's start reading on verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And let's just pray. Father in heaven, we want to quiet our hearts and bow our hearts before you, just in reverence of your holy word, Lord, that you have preserved and passed down and given to us as a precious gift. Lord, would you put us in a place tonight to hear from your Holy Spirit, specifically and individually into our own hearts, Lord, that we can hear you speaking to us and that we have an opportunity to respond and to just pour out our love, Lord, as we see your love for us, Father. Lord, we pray that you would protect our time, protect our hearts and our minds from wandering tonight, and help us, Lord, just to be attentive and to make this time that we've set aside to spend with you useful and productive. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to just review a little bit that verse, the song that we sang, Rejoice in the Lord Always, that we talked about as kind of an introduction last month, and just ask a few questions from last month, and you can answer them for me. According to that verse, Rejoice in the Lord Always, I will say it again, rejoice, what is it that we are to do? Very good. I'm proud of you. And who are we to rejoice in? Okay, when are we to do it? Good. And why should we rejoice in the Lord? Now, were you saying, Brandy? Bingo. Remember we talked about this last month. We went to that awesome verse in Zephaniah 3:17 that talks about the Lord rejoicing over us with singing. And we talked about this divine relationship that we have with him where God chooses us first, and then we have an opportunity to choose him back. And so, that's okay. You're fine. And so, I wanted to remind us of that, and I want to hold that in our mind as we look at this first little passage here and this prayer. I want us to be thinking about God sending his love, showing his love to us, choosing us and us choosing him back and entering into that divine relationship. As Paul's sharing in these first verses with the Philippians, you can tell, you know, that he really loves them. And he talks about them having partnership in the gospel. That amazing verse, he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. He talks about how they all share in the grace of God with him. But what I really want us to focus on, and you know, I really ask the Lord, what do you want us to talk about in this group on this day, you know, as we're going through this? And so we just do our best to do that. It's this verse, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. And that's why I wanted to talk, remind us what we talked about this love relationship with the Lord. Paul's praying for them, and he says, I pray that your love would abound more and more. And I want to start there tonight and look at that a little bit. First, let's look at that word love, okay? Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love is, if you will, offspring from this divine relationship with the Lord. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And the word here, this word love, is that familiar Greek word, agape, which, you know, we don't possess in our natural self. That is from the Lord. That's something that God's genetics give to us, is that ability, that agape love. Paul says his prayer is that their love would abound more and more. So I kind of looked into some other synonyms for abound: to increase, to be in excess, to excel, to have abundance, to have enough to spare, over and over. And you know, I've prayed this prayer over me and over my family numerous times, but I was really kind of excited in a fresh way this time, thinking about my love for the Lord to abound more and more and to grow more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, to know him really more and more. A couple, maybe a week ago or so, Alyssa and I were talking, and she asked me, she goes, Mom, well, why did you fall in love with Dad? Your kids ever ask you that question? And I think it started because Grandma had written her history, and she had written some of my dad's history. And it's really sweet to go back and read when older people write their perspective of, you know, 60 years ago. And my mom was saying how she was real quiet and my dad liked to talk a lot, and she thought they'd be a great fit, you know. But anyway, Alyssa's asking me, she goes, why did you fall in love with Dad? And I thought, well, let me think just a minute. And I was laying on her bed and I said, you know, I liked the way he walked. She goes, oh, I can understand that. And then it kind of got me started. You know, I hadn't answered this question in a number of years. It's not like somebody's going to ask you that every day. And I got started, and then I started telling her all the other things, you know, that I liked about him, what attracted me to him and all that. But I got to thinking, in light of what we're talking about here, truly, that's the first thing I ever noticed about the man. Well, boy, it's like 17. I just like the way he walked. But it didn't stop there. I got to know him more. I found out he was artsy. He was artistic. He was musical. And, you know, he was very persuasive. He talked me into marrying him. And that's, there's a lot to be said for pursuit. But anyway, I was just thinking that through. That, you know, when you meet someone, like, you know, your husband or just any person, initially you have, there's something that you know about them or you like about them, but then your knowledge grows, right? And in a marriage relationship, you might say your love abounds more and more in knowledge as you find more things. It's like, I like that about you. You know, you're so thoughtful, or you're this, or you're that. And so anyway, I was just thinking that through. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and goodness. And so, as Paul's praying over the church, the ones that he loves and saying, this is my prayer for you, that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. That's certainly something we can all take to heart, isn't it? No matter where we're at with the Lord in our relationship, we have more to learn, more knowledge to gain about him. And that particular word, knowledge, right there, Vines says, having a great participation by the knower to the object known, thus powerfully influencing him to observe and to fully perceive and to recognize. And so I just think that that's a great start for us, and maybe something that that we can really reflect on is being able to pursue that, to know him more. When we choose him back, we have the privilege and the responsibility to get to know him so that our love will abound more and more. And I was thinking this really dovetails so well with Paul's teaching from yesterday morning as well, because he's given us that seed of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own, in our own flesh, but he's placed his own spirit within us that enables us to know him. And so he makes it easy for us. When our love abounds more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, then we have fruit that comes from that. And this is the next part of the verse. So that we might be able to discern what is best, be pure, be blameless, and filled with the fruit of righteousness. So this, if you will, these things are the result that we get from our love growing, our love of the Lord growing. We get discernment. I was recently reading in Leviticus, and there's that great verse, well, it says it multiple times, but the Lord tells the priest, you must learn to discern between the holy and the profane. You know, and as Christians, we must learn to discern. We must learn to discern between what's worldly and what's spiritual. How do we have that? By our love abounding more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, by getting to know the Lord more. We can discern what is best. We can be pure, like pure gold. We can be blameless, that is like not leading other people astray, and filled with all the fruit of the Spirit. So my question to myself, as I reflect on this, I just have to ask myself, is my love abounding? Or am I just good to go? What am I doing? What am I doing to promote my love for the Lord to abound more and more? Am I being active? Am I actively pursuing that? Is my knowledge of God growing? Do I see these fruits right here about discernment, purity, blamelessness? And I have to remind myself, I can't implement these things just on my own. I can't just try hard, say, you know what? I am going to try to be pure. I'm going to try to be blameless. I'm going to try to have discernment. It has to be a result of my love relationship with the Lord. So tonight, as we're discussing, that might be something for you to just kind of think through and to ask yourself, and maybe even just pray about, what can we do? What steps will we take? And just praying this is what Paul did, right, for the Philippians. He was just praying that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Okay, our next section that we're going to go through, Paul starts talking about himself. Now he's done praying for them and loving on them and all the nice words he has. And now he's going to share a little bit about himself. And starting in verse 12, we're going to go ahead and read a little. Paul says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel, and the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what's happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And we're going to stop right there. Skip, you can go ahead and just not do any amplification. It kind of echoes behind me here if you want to do that. I'll talk nice and loud so that you don't need it. Okay, so Paul is talking about where he's at in life. And I love this verse. He says, I want you to know what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul has his mind completely wrapped around what God's doing. He has chosen and he has practiced the spiritual mind rather than the natural mind. And I want to go through four things that we see in here that Paul has chosen. But first I want to read you this verse from Romans that we can hold in tension while we read this. Romans 8:6 says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Okay, so we got two choices, right? So this is how, the Lord is so good. This is just what Paul was talking about yesterday in church. We have two choices, the mind, the natural mind and the spiritual mind. And I was thinking this through over this last week and thinking about what this looks like in my life. And, you know, the best thing I could think of, you know, when you're working on your computer and we all, you know, nowadays we all have Windows. We can have multiple applications open at one time, right? Okay. And so you've got, you know, your email program and maybe you've got, you know, something else in the background and something in the background. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So you have multiple things that you can, but only one is on top. Well, unless you minimize it, but let's just say it's, let's just say it's all full screen. There is no minimizing. It's full screen. Only one thing is on top. So you might be writing a letter to your mom and you might be, have your email program open and you might have your little Quicken bank account open or whatever, but you only see the top thing, right? The rest of them are behind. They're there, but they're behind. And you're making a choice. Which one is coming to the top? Which one are you going to look at? And that's what helped me really think about the mind of Christ or my natural mind. You know, which one will I bring to the top to look at? And Paul was choosing. I am going to bring the spiritual mind to the top, and I'm going to see what's happening in my life looking at the mind of Christ, looking at the spiritual mind. Do you remember last month I had gave you that quote by Warren Wiersbe? The secret of Christian joy is found in the way the believer thinks, in his attitudes. The secret of Christian joy is found in the way the believer thinks, in his attitudes. So here's the choices that Paul was making about his thinking. First of all, he decided to reckon his situation through the eyes of truth. Okay? Here's his situation. He's in chains. He's imprisoned. Okay? That's the situation that he finds himself in. He would have much rather gone to Rome as a preacher than as a prisoner. But he was a prisoner. So he looks at his situation and he says, I'm in chains for Christ. There's a purpose for this. There's a purpose for what's going on in my life. This was God's plan for this portion of his life. And Paul chose not to look at it like I have been guilty of, and maybe you have been guilty of. Satan is really attacking me. Anything bad happens, you know, it's like this is the work of the enemy. Well, not necessarily. Paul decided to have the spiritual mind on top and say, I'm in chains for Christ. There's a purpose here. So that was the first thing that he did, was just look through the eyes of truth. The next thing is that Paul could already see fruit from this. In verse 14, he said, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." He already saw a good purpose for where he found himself, for the circumstances that he found himself in. He realized that these chains were creating an army of preachers rather than just him. They were being emboldened, these others were being emboldened to preach the Christ more courageously and fearlessly. Now, we can't always see fruit right away from our difficult circumstances, but sometimes we don't even look. And I think there's a lot to be said for even just thinking about it and looking. Well, what good is coming from this situation that I would just as soon not be in? So that was the second thing that Paul did that I really feel like is spiritual-minded thinking. The third thing that Paul does in this passage as he's telling the Philippians about himself is he puts his hope in Christ because he knows the character of God. His love had already abounded a lot in knowledge and depth of insight, and he knows the character of God, and his hope is fully in Christ in his situation, because in verse 19, he said, "What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." He has a confidence and a hope. Have you ever felt hopeless? Do you know that feeling that you just think you're just hopeless? You've been robbed of your hope. But Paul chose to hold on to this hope. And it's as if he was saying, you know what? This is God's work. And this will not destroy me. This will not destroy me. That's an important thing for us to remember sometimes to encourage others with. I've faced something before. I've faced things that I just was tempted to be so hopeless. I thought, this will destroy me. This is the end. Have you ever had, just a broken heart that way? That you just thought, I just think, you know, sea sweep me away because I'm done for, you know. But what Paul does here when he applies the spiritual mind is he says, what's happened to me is going to turn out for my deliverance. He holds on to his hope in the character of God that it will not destroy him. And lastly, he rests in the ultimate sovereignty of God. Because after he says, this is going to turn out for my deliverance, then he starts talking about, but if I'm beheaded, he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so he holds on to God's sovereignty, you know, knowing that death is a real possibility for him. And of course, it's an ultimate surety for all of us at some point. But he knew that if God brought that at that time, then that was gain for his life. That would be good too. But as long as he was there, he was just going to continue on. So I find it comforting to look at how Paul looks at his circumstances and why he can hold on to joy, why he can say things like, I rejoice in the Lord, when it's a pretty tough situation. And we've all in this room faced tough situations. And so I hope that through your study time and through looking at some of these, there's some encouragement there to say, I need to look at the truth of it. The spiritual mind helps me say, where's truth in this situation? And to see fruit from it, to have our hope in Christ, and to know that God is sovereign, and he's good, and he loves us, and he called us for a reason. The last section that we want to go through starts in verse 27. And I think we'll go ahead and read these last few verses together. Because now Paul's turning his attention from himself totally to the Philippians, okay? And he starts with, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one faith, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved. And that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So our attention now is turned, is impressed upon the church, and he's saying to them, whatever happens, which leads us to believe it's unknown. And, you know, tomorrow's unknown for every one of us. We can walk out the door tonight and say, whatever happens, we have no idea what tomorrow will bring. So Paul is exhorting the church to do the same thing that he himself has done, to choose and to practice the spiritual mind in what is currently happening and in what will happen, and to not live under the circumstances, but to really live through them. Who here wrote this verse on your refrigerator? For it has been granted unto you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Did anybody like write that out and just paste it up on the refrigerator as one of those amazingly encouraging verses in the Word? I wouldn't imagine that you would. And it's almost a little, I think, in our devotion I had written. It's one of those verses you just want to push away a little bit. But you know what? It's in God's Word. And so it's true. It's been granted to us to believe and also to suffer. We shouldn't be surprised when circumstances come our way that are uncomfortable or awkward or heartbreaking or whatever, because first of all, we live in a sinful world. We were told in this world you will have trouble. But also living in a world but not being of the world, we will suffer. We will see things differently. We will respond differently. We will act differently. I wanted to take those same four things and talk about our situations, our personal situations, and what the Philippians may have been facing themselves. Remember, Paul was in prison right there in their town. I mean, they knew pretty intimately some of the things that he had gone through right there. When we face some really challenging circumstances, first thing that we need to do is look at the situation through the eyes of truth and not the eyes of the world and not the eyes of the enemy that would get a hold of us and turn our perspective and make it different than what it really is. And sometimes that requires a friend. Ministry of the Holy Spirit, a friend in your life, teaching of the Word. We will all have some type of chains or limitations or complications in our life. And a lot of those God will bring to us for his good purpose. Did you get the devotion last Friday about Brian Birdwell on Women of the Word? If you are not getting the Women of the Word Google emails, then make a note on your table so that we can check your email address and that. But I had sent out a devotion that Greg Laurie had put out about this man named Brian Birdwell, who was in the Pentagon on 9/11 9 years ago, and he was burned through, you know, majority of his body, and he had had multiple surgeries, and he really went through a lot of suffering. And he came to speak at Harvest Christian Church, at Greg Laurie's church, and they were having lunch, and Greg said, well, what are you doing this afternoon? Let's go do something fun. And he said, oh, I can't. I need to go to the hospital. And Greg said, oh, what's going on? He goes, well, wherever I go speak, I make an appointment at the hospital, and I visit the burn center so I can encourage the patients. And, of course, Greg was impressed with that. The point is, this man had gone through tremendously difficult circumstances in his life. But he chose, with the spiritual mind, to say, what will I do with it? Don't waste your pain. You know, I'm going to use this for the glory of the Lord. And so he goes around speaking. But not only that, he goes and makes appointments with burn victims to give them hope. And Greg Laurie went on to say, you know, how would you feel if you were laying there just with like a centimeter of hope left or none at all? And someone who had gone through exactly the same thing came and encouraged you and brought that hope, not just in survival, but the hope of Christ to you, you know? And so it was a really an inspiring short little devotion. And but that really encouraged me to think about whatever circumstance that we're in, to turn it over and to let the Lord use it in our lives. It's very simple. It's not easy at all, but it's simple, right? But the Lord can give us the strength for it. Second of all, check for fruit. How fun is it to know that God is finally using some difficult circumstance that you've been in, and you see the fruit? That's an encouragement, isn't it? And that's what Paul was sharing with him when he said, you know, as a result of this, you know, everybody's been encouraged to share the gospel. Isn't that awesome? And so sometimes we need to ask ourselves, you know, is there any fruit from my difficult circumstances? I bet you can think of things that you can already see the fruit from. When we're in challenging circumstances, we need to protect our hope in Christ. I don't know, the enemy just seems to weave hopelessness into our emotions, particularly with women, I think. And I think this verse really is encouraging when it says it's been granted unto us not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him. That is an encouragement. That gives me hope, because then I can say, oh, it's not just me. You know, it's everybody. And that phrase, to be able to say, this will not destroy me. This will not destroy me. Maybe you need somebody to tell you that tonight. Or maybe you have a friend that you need to go home and call her up and say, you know what? This will not destroy you. Hang in there. God will work this out for your deliverance. He loves you. I know his character. I know about him because, you know what? He loved me first. And I chose him back. And I've gotten to know him more and more. And I know his character. This won't destroy you. Hang in there. Have hope in the Lord. And then to rest in the sovereignty of God. To just rest in our difficult circumstances. That's how we have joy, is resting. Again, it's very simple, but it's not easy, right? There was a story about a pastor who was checking on one of the ladies in his congregation, and he asked her, you know, how are you doing? She was an older lady, and the lady said, oh, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And he said to her, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Sometimes we get under there, don't we? Sometimes we just get buried under the circumstances. And so I hope this chapter inspires us to get out from under the circumstances and to see him for the reality of what God wants to do in and through us. And to use them, to not waste our pain, to use the circumstances for his glory and for our encouragement as well. So I'm going to pray, and then I just want to encourage you to go through in your discussion groups, to go through the chapter and to share with one another things that the Lord has encouraged you with as you went through this chapter in your study time. Your hostesses have the next chapter that you can take home and get started, and it's even better than the first. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to take these words that you've given us and just seal them in our hearts, Lord. Lord, it's only by your Holy Spirit that we really can get out from underneath our circumstances, and that we can see you, love you, have our love to abound more and more in our knowledge of you and our assurance of your character, Lord, knowing that you are good, that every gift that you give us is good, Lord, and that whatever we face, it's not here to destroy us, but as we give it to you, Lord, you will use it for your kingdom, for your glory, for your honor. Lord, I pray for each one that's here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bring hope into all those lives that need a fresh dose of hope, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just love on those that really need to feel your embrace. And Father, I pray that as we leave this place, you would help us by the power of your Spirit to take the seed of God that is in us, that spiritual mind that you have given us, Lord, and to put it in the forefront so that we see situations and circumstances through your eyes and not through the eyes of our sinful nature, Lord. So, Lord, be with us, work among us, do your work as we share with one another, as we fellowship, as we discuss your word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You have 25 minutes.